Good evening, everyone. It's Midnight again. My name is David, and I'm here with Jay, as always. Kanpai with my water.
Kanpai with my non-alcoholic beer. How are you, mate? You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I was actually, like, last night, I felt like shit.
Why?
Really bad. I don't know. I was fine. I got home. I sat down for like an hour.
Yeah.
Like I watched like an episode of like Seinfeld or something It never leaves me. And then I felt like garbage. Like I was supposed to go with my girlfriend to the store like 5 minutes away and I'm just like, no, come home. Like it's not, I feel like shit.
What, did you have a fever or just like?
I just felt like I was going to throw up.
Have you had the vaccine yet?
Yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah, same. I haven't felt right since, to be honest, with you.
No, I felt fine. That being said, I wonder if it was just like lack of sleep.
Possibly.
Because
that can fuck you, dude.
The night before, I was up till 3 a.m.
In a
creative fugue state where I'm just like...
fugue state.
I need to... More lines.
More designs. Mate, that merch looks sick, by the way. Everybody, Tokyo Fresh Podcast, get on Suzuri, buy the new merch. When's it dropping?
This week.
Sweet. I'm going to get both.
Definitely not maybe. It will be there. It's just I want to check in with people as far as if pictures are legal to use or if I've modified them enough because there's like legal precedent there. And I don't want to get sued because that's not fun. I don't got money.
Oh, I got pictures of Tokyo Towers you can use.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go.
If you want it.
There.
But yeah.
I don't on hand, so.
I've been in the same state because obviously you've got like the third season coming up afresh, yeah. So you've been busy. I've got the band as well.
Yeah, I've seen you prepping and playing and practicing.
Mate, so basically we started this band very briefly last October and now we've got the full unit. We've got the songs, we've got the social media, we've got the link tree. It's all in black and white. That's the aesthetic.
Social media fucking sucks and I hate doing it.
Yeah, same. But like we've got a gig next month. So any listeners in Tokyo, I know there's a few of you, come down to Shimo Kitazawa December 9th. This is my shameless plug.
That's fine.
Dave will be there hopefully.
Yeah. I mean are you the one getting tickets? Where are we buying tickets? Like, what's the deal?
It's all on the door.
Okay.
I think it's 3,000 yen. You get a drink.
Okay. Are you putting like names down for people that are?
I have to start doing it soon.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been really disorganized.
I was gonna say, you should
probably get on that. We got 24 days. With a final band of three, and yeah.
Okay.
I can't fucking wait. I'm very nervous though.
Eh, you'll be fine.
I haven't been on stage since 2013.
Once you play that first song, you'll be fine.
Yeah, so everybody, Loneliness in Big City, Shimo Kitazawa, December 9th. And yes, this is a movie podcast, so we'll get into it. Dave, okay.
Yes.
What did we watch this week? Would you like to introduce this movie?
I would. I don't know why I'm saying because I know what the movie is. I have it written down in front of me. This week, we watched this is an older movie. Oh, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
We watched The Truman Show.
The Truman Show.
To you now from the largest studio ever constructed, it's the Truman Show.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
What if no scripts, no cue cards?
Morning, Spencer. How's it going?
What if you were watched every moment of your life?
How many cameras you got there in that town?
5,000.
I believe Truman is the first child to have been legally adopted by a corporation.
That's correct.
Brilliant.
One of the most important movies ever made.
Really? You think so?
Oh, mate.
I don't know what the history is, so I assume you're going to educate me.
Shall I introduce when it was made?
Okay.
1998.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's the 90s, right? And we were born in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, like, we've lived through the advancement of all kinds of technology,
mm-hmm.
video game consoles, smartphones,
yeah. mm-hmm.
the greatest experiment on humankind ever. But, like, you know,
we're probably, I think for sure, probably the last generation to live before internet existed.
Yes.
I remember a time when internet was not a thing.
I remember dial up.
Yeah, I remember. I will not put the dial-up sound in there.
Just use mine. That's an accurate representation. But basically, this proceeded.
Get off the phone, Mom.
Get off.
I need to look at
I'm trying to print nudes.
Printer's out of ink. Fuck.
It's your toner. Yeah. But Office Space preceded this as well. We've got to watch that because whenever you mention printers, it's just that scene where it's like,
Damn, motherfucker.
Yeah,
just smashing the printer.
I actually showed that to my colleague 2 weeks ago because the printer got stuck.
Yeah.
When he came back to the desk on my laptop, I just had this scene like, die, motherfucker, die. And he was just like, yep, get me a hammer. But yeah, so this technically predates reality TV.
Does it?
Kind of, like, yeah. Like the universal concept that went forward.
What's considered to be like the start of reality TV? Big Brother?
Big Brother, Survivor, those kind of things.
Okay, yeah,
I mean,
okay,
Survivor was like in the 2000s, but yeah. Big Brother was 99. But he came, of course, Big Brother is 1984 by George Orwell, but like the actual...
The reality the show TV format show Big Brother. Yeah,
from
yeah.
the Dutch guy, I forget his name, but his company Endemol, they adapted that concept and made it into a show, right?
Right.
Where you spend 60 days in a house with people that you can't stand so that you can win 100,000.
Frankly, that seems like too much trouble.
That actually lasted for like 20 series as well, and I'm glad it's gone.
Is it gone? Because...
It's gone. Well, in the UK, it's gone. I don't know about anywhere else.
It might be in America.
But, mate, that show, we'll get back onto the Truman Show very, very quickly, but Big Brother, like, I remember just, this will fall into what we're doing, but
yeah.
Big Brother was like one of the only things I ever saw at the time where you are watching people 24/7, right?
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, my mum, I remember my mum, I came downstairs for like a biscuit. At like 1 a.m.
Right.
And I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, look, he's sleeping. Because they had like a Big Brother live channel, on E4 or something.
Yeah.
Oh, doesn't he snore strange? And I'm like, this is weird voyeurism. Like, it is voyeurism.
It's really voyeurism.
But obviously, like, legally, they've signed shit like, we don't care. And like, occasionally they'd bang and it'd be on the highlights.
Right.
10 a.m. in the diary room. That was the guy. Max is having sex with Daisy. You just hear stuff like that. But this, I've got to say, like, you watch this movie and
this is like
the fundamental,
a million
like,
times more wholesome by comparison.
Yeah, of course. Like, you're not going to see Jim Carrey just like in the bathroom mirror just going, just like busting one out.
He would have done it. If someone told him to, he would have done it.
I know, because they do say like when things happen,
yeah,
they cut away and play some like Mozart or whatever, which is in the soundtrack. But like, I'm sure, come on, dude. Like, he's in his 30s. This program's been going on for 30 years. There has to be like, you know, a nip slip on Jim Carrey's part, or like, oh, a ball bag. Like, just, you know what I mean? That has to be some kind of error, man. But anyways, let's get into it. So, released in 1998, starring the one and only...
Canadian? Yes, Canadian. Yes, Jim Carrey's Canadian.
Where's he from?
Ontario.
Oh, sweet. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your... Let's preface this. Are you a fan?
Am I a fan of Jim Carrey the actor or Jim Carrey the man?
Ah, yes, there's two of them. Yeah.
Yes.
Who is
I, as he says? Who is we?
Oh, when he starts going
Carrey's,
through his...
Jim Carrey's a fucking nutter. Straight up.
I love him.
Jim Carrey's
apart from,
fucking
there was
insane.
There was some weird shit that happened, but like...
No, he's still fucking weird. Like, literally insane. Mm. Have you seen any recent interviews with Jim Carrey?
I saw...
The man's a fucking nutter.
I saw Jim and Andy the Great Beyond, which was based on Man on the Moon, where he played Andy Kaufman.
Uh-huh.
And he got so deep into the character, like...
No, I'm talking about, like, real live interviews on, like, a talk show recently.
No.
He's fucking nuts.
Read too much Plato.
Oh, he's out of his fucking gourd.
Just on acid.
I don't know what he's on. He is on too much Jim Carrey is what Jim
Whatever
Carrey's
it on. Is, I want it. I'm joking. I kind of don't. But, yeah.
I like him as an actor. I think he's good.
Yeah. You seen most of his movies before?
I wouldn't say most, but I've seen
Dumb and Dumber. I'll shoot you some Dumb and Dumber.
I've seen it, yeah.
Liar, Liar.
Yep.
Cable Guy.
Cable Guy I haven't seen.
That's an odd one.
I know what it's about.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yep.
Shit. Man on the Moon. That's the Andy Kaufman.
No, I haven't seen the Andy
Kaufman. That is a really, really good one. But in this, he's not...
the best one.
What's the best one?
Bruce Almighty, come on.
Oh, fuck! Oh my god, that's not in my notes!
There you go.
Yeah.
I got the power.
But yeah, he, in this movie, it's like, I can compare it to something else, something which we will watch in the future, my favorite movie of all time. Lost in Translation starred Bill Murray, who is just a fucking awesome comedian, same as Jim Carrey. But like the role was tailor-made for like a lighter kind of more emotional side. Mm-hmm. So like when I watched Bill Murray in that movie, I was like, oh my God, this guy can actually act as well right. as be funny, right? And like Jim Carrey in this movie, it's, I mean, this predates Lost in Translation as an example. But
this is after Ace Ventura 1.
Yeah, and I was just going to add that. So if you watch... If you watch fucking Ace Ventura, where
and
he's
then
like,
watch this.
Do you have a mint? You know, and he's like,
you get shit out of the rhino. Wait, is that an Ace Ventura 2?
Yeah, or... and like, you watch this, and it, like, his character is so multi-dimensional. Oh, he's fucking awesome in this. He
can't act. Like,
I actually cried at this movie because it, like, with the music and like how he portrays this character, it's made for him.
Right.
So I don't know why in my notes it's like Peter Weir, the Aussie who directed it, also did Dead Poets Society, chose him because of Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so weird. Like, yeah. I loved you playing like just
this wacky ass
dickhead detective with like
detective
a parrot.
Who talks to
like, alrighty then. Best scene in Ace Ventura is where he comes out the hippo's ass.
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought it was a rhino.
Oh, rhino. Rhino. Yeah, it is rhino. He's in that animatronic rhino. Yeah. Oh, look at it. It's just like coming out of its bum. But
that's
so crazy.
Man.
How can anybody look at that movie and go, right, I'm going to do like this, you know, psychoanalytical fucking like drama about like reality TV. I need you for it.
I'm going to cast the goofy, funny rubber face man.
When he comes out of the arse, it's just like beautiful, beautiful.
Yep.
Next movie, yeah. So yeah, budget of $60 million, made over $260 million. And I watched this on Netflix.
I watched it on Netflix last night.
Yeah. And first released June the 1st, 1998, 1 month before my 6th birthday.
There you go.
Yeah. That's all the stats you need.
It was 8.
We just got to keep dropping our age in there because we're very nostalgic. Do you want to go into this, my friend?
Sure. Yeah. Do we want to give a synopsis of what this movie is?
Do you have a synopsis?
I mean, I have a like 3-line synopsis.
Okay.
Shoot. I said The Truman Show is a reality TV show featuring Jim Carrey acting as Jim Carrey.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. He walks out every morning, the milkman's there. He's like, I saw that milkman. He's on loop.
Yeah. Yes.
He's like, bro, I'm a milkman. I deliver milk. But yeah, so we follow Jim Carrey as Truman, the world's first baby adopted by a corporation in a world that is basically a TV set underneath a giant dome that can be seen from space. Only two structures.
Along with the
Great Wall of China, which is bullshit.
You can't see the Great Wall of China from space, so...
I'll drop a quote in here. Carl Pilkington, one of my favorite ever. He's not a comedian. He's just a guy. When he goes to China and he goes, I thought you could see it from space. And he can't even see it in front of him. And he's like, it's the all right wall of China.
It's the mediocre wall of China.
Yeah, it's an all right wall.
I mean,
it's the all right wall of China.
Did it stop the Mongolians? Yeah, kind of.
I think he goes to the end of the wall.
Uh-huh.
And it's like in like a meter and a half of water. And he's like, well, you could just walk around it.
Kind of, yeah. Just get in a canoe and just...
But legit, like, they pan out of this studio, and it's, like, massive.
It's massive. You know? So, I guess the conceit in the movie is that they basically paved over Burbank, California.
Yeah. It's actually set in Florida, in a town called Seaside.
Yes. Yeah.
Which...
We have some... I have
Jim
some
Carrey is Florida man.
He kind of is Florida man.
Surrounded by Florida
he
man.
He becomes Florida man
He does.
Later.
He does. He becomes a true man. At the end.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice little thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
So the first thing I mentioned, so let's get like the main overarching plot. So
right,
the
mate,
overarching
yeah.
plot here is that Jim Carrey as
please himself.
As a child of an unwanted pregnancy is
one
adopted.
One of five.
They chose him because he was premature, so lucky him. He was chosen by He was basically adopted by a corporation. So already that's kind of like really fucking weird and scummy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is very like dystopian.
He gets adopted by this corporation and they stick him in this giant, like, it must be like hundreds of kilometers wide. Like,
yeah, I mean, it looks like it.
It looks huge, right? But it can't be that big. I mean, it's big enough to sail a boat, so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd say about 50K.
Yeah.
I mean, from like the scale yeah. of the thing.
It's huge.
But yeah.
So, and they basically, they put him in this place called Sea Haven, which is like a fabricated town that the company has made, and then film his entire life.
Mm.
Up to where the story in the movie starts.
Yeah. It looks like, it's really weird because it looks like some, well, do you remember like the nuclear family kind yes, of American, the like,
ideal this is your kind perfect of idealized middle utopian, American, utopian.
Like, you family. Want a family and kids. And that's in the narrative, like, because he has like a wife, right? Yeah. Laura Linney, amazing actress in Love Actually, who's actually prostituting herself, basically. She is, because
we'll get into that when yeah, we talk about the finer points of this movie. Because this is a
big point of, like, some media ethics seminars actually talk about this movie yeah. as a theme with oh, yeah. her character
I'm not
in general.
Surprised.
It's crazy.
I was actually thinking about this movie on the way home, and I'm like, her character's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things that are really fucked up in this movie, but, yeah. like, her character specifically is really
But, like, his narrative, basically, because it is his life is a story,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Is basically he has to have a kid, he has to do this, he has to live this perfect life.
Right. He's got to live the idealized American nuclear family life.
1.7 billion watched his birth, so billions watch him all around the world,
yeah.
right? And through every moment of his life, every life event, like when he knocks out his first tooth, when he takes yeah. his first shit, I don't know, like it's on camera, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And all the product placement, which we'll get to.
They talk about, like, I forget, someone mentions, like, ah, oh, why are you watching this? It's, you know, I can see that shit on a greatest hits reel.
Oh, yeah. But it's all manufactured by Christoph, Ed Harris, who was in Apollo 13, and I'm racking my memory, A Beautiful Mind, who was in that as well. I recommend those movies.
I mean, you haven't mentioned his best movie, The Rock.
Oh, a James Bond sequel. Legit, apparently, like, people think The Rock is like a spiritual sequel to Sean Connery's Bond. We need to watch The Rock.
We'll watch The Rock.
Stop The Rock. But anyways, Christoph, as an evil French-looking director.
Yeah, the evilest French-looking American.
Yeah, yeah, with like the glasses and like the kind of reverse kind of beret kind of thing. Yeah. And he sees Truman as his baby, his brainchild, the main source of his income, of course, and his art. And he lives in the fucking moon.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like somewhat the 200th floor of a tower.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, that's, mate. When he's looking out at the island, it's like Enoshima Sea Candle kind of
high. He's like the man in the moon, right?
Yeah, legit.
He's always watching you. There you go.
He's God.
Yeah, kind of basically. Yeah. I mean, they allude to that.
Yeah, we'll of course, the religious themes, yeah. So, yeah, and he's also a motherfucker who is willing to kill Truman for the sake of him not escaping as well, yep. which we'll get to. And yeah,
so
wanker.
Let's talk about the start of the movie.
Yeah,
is you kind of see Truman doing his kind of like everyday routine. You know, he gets up, hi, good morning, and the other people from across
good
the
afternoon,
street,
good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Yeah. Oh, it's such a good quote.
But he does it like multiple times in the movie, right? So like
he's still doing it to this day.
You can see many like they do a repetition a couple times in this movie to kind of like. Lay down foundation of like, okay, this was his normal day.
Mm.
Then when things start to get weird, you're like, he starts breaking the loop, right?
The progression of this, like you mentioned, is really like, it is exceptionally paced.
Right.
Because you also forgot to mention, before we see him, the credits at the start, they are the actual TV show
the
credits.
The actor TV show people talking about being in the TV show.
Because like, 90s movies in general, especially Peter Weir, like Dead Poets Society, it's just, it's got like the same kind of credits where it's like some of the visuals, some of the shots, and then it's like some nice music in the black screen. But it is literally the characters and it's like directed by Christoph.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a surname this time.
No, he's
this is how bourgeois he is. You know?
He is, you know, the prince
art.
Of TV.
Art. Fucking contemporary artist, man, honestly. But yeah, So yeah, he starts to break the loop, right? And
yeah.
Odd things start to happen.
I said like the funniest thing is like the entire illusion of this should have been broken the second that a giant stage light falls out of the sky.
Oh, the stage light.
And smashes into the street and he looks at it like, I've never seen a light before. What's that? And I'm like, a light just fell out of the sky and smashed in the middle of the street and you went, that's weird, but I guess I gotta go to work.
I think it says Canis Majoris on it, which is the name of a star.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's based, you know, basically when he looks up, I don't know how high it is.
They're simulating the night sky.
But like, it doesn't half, it just smashes, right? If it fell from that height,
it would have been obliterated.
It would have just mushed Jim Carrey. And then what happened? Can you imagine watching this?
Yeah.
And then one day it's like, he got killed by a stage light.
Yeah,
so what the fuck?
Mailman's putting mail in your fucking mailbox and then just instantly smashed by a stage light.
But they bullshit and say it was a plane, right?
Yeah, they're like, oh, plane.
Just Donnie Darko.
Parts started falling off a plane. I'm like, what?
He's Donnie Darko. Okay.
Fucking, he went to school, like regular school, right?
Yeah.
Like, clearly. He knows what is on a plane.
Yeah.
Why would a stage light fall off a plane? But he just goes...
He knows what a Kino flow is. You know what I mean? Or something. He probably went to film school. I mean, you never know. You never know. Oh, no. He definitely didn't go to film school because...
Yeah.
They trained him to not question his reality, right? Yeah, I mean, film school fucking changes you because you start to, right? But yeah. Yeah, basically he starts noticing that things are very simulated. You know what I mean?
After 30 years, I think you'd know a little bit.
He's in his 30s.
Yeah.
Well, originally, they wanted this movie to be like a teenage drama.
I thought it was supposed to be much darker than this.
Before that, it was supposed to be darker and set in New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a sci-fi. But like originally, Jim Carrey's character was supposed to be a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a coming-of-age kind of story.
Right, right. But then they aged him up when
and
they
then,
picked Jim Carrey.
You know, he gains independence, right, throughout the movie. So like, I mean, he's in his 30s and it's just... Like, you can tell.
Because
he's like this salary man, right? And he speaks to the same people every fucking day.
He works at like a life insurance company or something?
And the guy's a dick, like, oh, don't make me break your back or some shit. Yeah. And, you know, get on this boat, go to this island. And then we get the first kind of like slice of, how do I say? Like, Kristoff.
His conditioning.
His conditioning, yeah. It's like, oh, we made him scared of water. Like, he was on a raft with his dad.
He was sailing with his dad. And then they had this whole thing where his dad fell off the boat and drowned to death, but he didn't actually drown to
death. Yeah, he was pissed off, like, I'm out of the show!
Yeah.
And he comes back. But, so Jim Carrey's like,
definitely
well, Truman is afraid of water, so, yeah, he can't get off the island. He can't get out of the studio, right? It's fucked up. I watched this... Many, many years ago, and I want to admit something, this was the movie that made me want to study my degree.
Oh, yeah?
Because at the time when I watched it, it stayed with me for such a long time because I thought, wow, like, this guy didn't understand that his life was not his life, right? Mm-hmm. And he was stuck inside a fucking TV studio, and we'll get on to, like, the media shit later, but it just shows how, like, media... In the fucking 90s, pre-9/11, all this kind of shit, right?
Yeah.
Was such a powerful tool. How TV was such a powerful tool, you know? And it just... And, like, the internet. This was before the internet.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's just fucking everything. Just, like, it was such
like, could you
an
imagine
incredible
it,
concept.
Could you imagine it now? Like, how easy this would be to actually pull off?
Yeah, and no one would be, like... No one would be surprised. And... I've got a quote here, and it's fucking unbelievable, actually. Ah, where is it? By the director. He basically says that this was a dangerous film to make because it couldn't happen. How ironic. This movie predicted, like, so much shit going forward like, the digital age and stuff like that. And, so should we go back into the plot? There are some side characters that play an important part.
Yeah.
We've got his wife. We've got his mum, who's, like... Here's some baby pictures. They are real, but like they're not his parents.
No.
They're actors.
Right.
You know, and they've got lifetime employment and health insurance and dental basically for the rest of their life because like, and they have to pretend to be this guy's fucking family. Like,
right. And you have to wonder
that would fuck you
where,
up. Oh, shit.
If you're doing a job like that where you are literally, as far as this person knows, everything is real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So as far as they're concerned, you are their parent, right? Wouldn't you think after over a certain amount of time that you would actually, you know, develop some kind of feelings for them? Well, or on the flip side, you would fucking hate them. You would, like, resent them after a point.
Well, like, if... The thing is, if the character ended up resenting Truman, they'd just be written out.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, Christoph is, like, he's the director, he's the editor, right? So, like, people in there that he didn't like, we'll get to one in a minute, yeah. It's really important, he just cuts them out, right? Because there's no outside interference with the narrative that he's creating for him, right? He's building everything around him, the radio shows, the newspapers, the fucking product placement, like, everything in this movie is a complete utopia built by one guy in his corporation, yep. Right? It's astounding. And also, yeah, what was I going to say? Fuck, I forgot it. But basically, oh, that's it. His best friend does like him.
You would think so, yeah.
You can tell because, like, he can't break character, but there's parts where he's like, oh, fuck. Like, and... That character has a lot more backstory as well. I think his name's it's Noel Emmerich as
Marlon. That's what it is.
He's a vending machine stalker, right? His best friend since he was 7, and basically you can tell he's itching. Like he's showing off the beer, but he's also like, oh, fuck. Like, I really like you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll tackle the weird, like, controversial shit in, like, its own section.
Yeah.
Because there is so much about each one of these characters that is just, like, when you think about it in the larger scope of the movie, it's just really fucked up.
It is wrong, yeah. But, like...
So...
This is why it's like a comedy film, right?
Yeah.
It's an existential kind of nightmare, really. Imagine being him in this fucking movie, like... Deja vu, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, wait, my fucking radio is telling me where I'm driving.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Telling everyone where to move and stuff.
Let's move on with the plot here a little bit. So, I almost called him Jim Carrey. Truman.
JC.
When he went to high school, I assume it's high school.
Yeah.
He's in high school. He met this... girl.
Sylvia.
She's an extra, right?
Yeah.
But he kind of like
filmed. You're all right. Like, how you doing? You know?
So, and Christoph's grand plan is that he has to do things a certain way, right? Like, he's orchestrated it in a way that he's kind of playing out his own weird sitcom story, right?
Yeah, like, we're going to give him a wife. We're going to give him this, you know?
And they had already kind of like planned that out. Mm. So what happens is that he kind of ends up running away with the Sylvia character. And she breaks character and basically is like, you're on a TV show. They're making it all up. This is all fake. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And then her dad turns, her dad.
Yeah, her dad.
She's a schizophrenic and she does this with all her boyfriends.
Yeah, she's fucking nuts.
And she's like, don't listen to him. Get out. Get out. Fucking fly. You know, do it. And he's just like.
He's like, what is going on, right? Because he's with her for like maybe 3 minutes on that beach. And then all of a sudden, like, dude in a car rolls up and he like telepathically knew where she was, right? And they knew where she was because they have cameras fucking everywhere.
Yeah, and they're like, hunt her down. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, get her out.
As quickly as possible.
And she's like...
Disrupt the narrative.
I really like this scene, though, because it's like... The romance is really believable, and then she's literally like, they're going to take me. And it's like, who? And then this guy just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and just
like, rolls up in a car and is like, yoink!
And then this doesn't just happen, like, once... It happens before as well, where, like, they're at the dance, and then, like, three men, like, fucking FBI agents, they look like, just escort her out, because she's looking at him, and, like, his actual girlfriend is like, who the fuck are you? You know, because she's been hired to fuck him, basically.
Yep.
And
I do love that when the dad character, like her dad, Sylvia's dad shows up, he's like, nope, we're moving tomorrow. We're moving to
Fiji. We're going to Fiji.
And he's like, Fiji? Jim Carrey's character, Truman's like, you're moving to Fiji tomorrow? What? What the fuck? He's like, yep, going to Fiji. See you later, motherfucker. Bye.
I bet that extra, when he came back in, it was like, why did you use Fiji? Why didn't you just say fucking somewhere bullshit?
So
that he can't find it on a fucking map.
So now the problem is that Truman has become obsessed with this woman because she's just been mysteriously taken away by Christoph's SS officers. And
legit.
And now he's like, I need to go to Fiji. I need to figure out who that woman was and go to Fiji. As far as he knows, Fiji doesn't fucking exist.
Do you know every time I heard the word Fiji, I just sort of craved Red Dwarf. I want to go to Fiji.
Look what I wrote here. Fiji, it's my plan.
That's my plan. I want to go to Fiji. Give me to Fiji. Fucking love Red Dwarf.
I'm going to have a cow and chickens and breed horses.
Mate, I need to rewatch it with you, honestly. We've got to do it. But yeah, basically, so Sylvia just disappears and he's enamored with her, right? Yep. And he, like, in the years since, he's not happy with his missus, like his wife, because she's pretty bad actress in the thing. Because she's like unsympathetic to him and she's like, oh, I'm your wife and you better do this. By the way, he's a choppy tool. Like, what is it? Like, you can die, slice, or peel like this. And she's like, this is the beauty of this. Because the director wanted to make a world in which everything was for sale.
Right.
And you'll notice, like, during these shots, like, it's really well lit. Mm-hmm. And they stare directly into the camera. And, like, the shot, the frame and everything is, like, it's idealistic commercial. And even when they push, like, him in during, like, conversation scenes and there's, like, a, you know, housing company or something, it's, like, really well framed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's his wife and they want kids. She wants to have a baby with him, which is, again, fucked up and weird, right? And then he's like, no, I want to go to Fiji. And she's like,
it's like, you can't go to Fiji. You don't have money.
We're paying for a mortgage with Monopoly money, you know? Yeah,
with fake Monopoly
money. I wonder what the currency is, of course. Yeah. Like the in-world currency. Dogecoin or something.
Yeah. So he Carry decides coin. The normal thing to do is to make a weird, creepy serial killer photo of Sylvia's face.
It's like some out of magazines. Chainsaw shit, basically. Yeah.
And hide it behind the picture of his wife.
Yeah, it's like on the back in the frame, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he wants to like reunite with her and all that kind of stuff. And Sylvia isn't the only character to kind of warn him.
Right.
There's been missed.
Yeah, they show that near later misses, in the movie, yeah.
Where it's like his fifth year, like when he's five, and there's a Christmas party, and the guy jumps out the box. Yeah. It's all not real. It's fake. I'm on TV. And then the guy that like parachutes in, and he's just got.
Yeah. You're on Ferris. TV, Truman.
Yeah. Just save Ferris, honestly. I'm joking. That's a different movie. But so.
Eventually, he starts to realize like things are weird. Like, I guess he hadn't been like questioning it before, but now weird things are starting to happen. Like, people are starting to slip up. For whatever reason, people this week have just, they've been ace until now, and now they've started to slip up, and then things start to break down.
My favorite one of that, it's later on, but when he goes, no worries, Truman. He just says it to him.
Oh.
The weird cop. And then he's like, what the fuck? It's like amazing. Yeah.
So he starts like driving his car, and then the car's like, okay, like, something happens with the radio in his car. Like, he picks up the frequency.
He's going down on 3rd Street.
All
extras get ready.
All the earpieces that everyone's wearing.
He's going down on St. Peter Street.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's turning left. Okay, make sure the coffee's hot.
And he like, looks out the window, and he's like, he's turning left on the Lawrence Street. And
he sees the sign.
He looks
at it,
and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then it's just like, whoa. And yeah, that guy is on the radio. He's like, whoa, we got a little bit of interference. It drives us crazy. Like,
we picked up a police signal there. Sorry about that.
Looks like we're following a rogue comet, and then it just becomes Maximum Overdrive. Like, this fucking car just ends up like this. Yeah.
Yeah, like it like squeals, and like all the extras, they all have earpieces in. Everyone's just like, ah!
And then they reset.
Yeah, and then they're like, okay, we're fine.
Yeah, and there's one bit in this scene, actually.
Yeah.
He starts to, like, The beautiful thing about this scene is the pace. They don't skimp on the pace. No. Like, they follow him for like 2 minutes, just like looking around, going left to right, back and forward.
Like,
and then he runs into like a, is it a bank or like an investor company or what?
Yeah.
Like stock. And then he opens the elevator and there's like catering.
There's like a guy with a clipboard and like a headset and, they, and like pink donuts. And they're like,
just some extras like taking a break. Yeah.
And like slide the door closed.
But like when I first watched that scene, it's pure horror. It really is horrific because he just looks and he's like, this is supposed to be a lift. Why are you like, and it's like 3 seconds. And you just see like one of the runners just go, oh, we fucked up. And he closes the door. And it's just like, imagine that your reality is like falling to the ground. And then you see that. Imagine, Dave, you go, you go like, I don't know. You leave this fucking house and there's just a guy there with a boom mic.
And you're like, oh, shit.
He's going into 7-Eleven.
Yep.
He's buying. He's buying a rice ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Just on your Bluetooth. Like, what the fuck is that? He's paying his bill. It's overdue. No, it isn't. Is it?
Yep, yeah. It's fucking weird, right?
I was talking about the bill, but, you know, we're not going to share that information.
Well, it spends time with him a little bit, like, when he starts to realize, like, shit's getting weird. Because, like... He's like, oh, I'm going to go to work. And then he goes to work and he gets in the door and he just kind of keeps going around that turnstile. And then he decides, no, fuck it. I'm going to go to this other building. And that's when he sees in the escalator.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He breaks script. And I guess the people in the thing are like pretty good at, you know, kind of like adapting to where he's going to go. But he realizes pretty quickly, like, if I move too fast, they can't adapt reality quickly enough.
Yeah, because the camera just pans like, where is he? Oh, we got him. Like, and then pulls focus because they lose him, right?
Right.
Because they track his movements. Like, he's obviously going to go into this building, but when he comes out, obviously the camera operator was like, whoa, whoa, fuck, he's out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whoa, what do we do? It's like, follow him kind of thing. Yeah, and I really like this part because there's a scene where he speaks to Marlon at work and he's stuck in a vending machine.
Yeah.
And of course, we'll get onto shots, but like the camera is in the vending machine.
Right, looking
out. Just like it's on everybody's button or lapel or like in that fucking car windscreen mirror.
There's
or
one like, in like the wall above like advertisements.
And it just makes me laugh because their TriCaster setup must be fucking huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they like, have like the giant wall.
Like Vision Mixers have like 12, but the base ones have like 12 like camera inputs, but this must have. Fucking.
We said like
an insane amount.
You said something about like 5,000 cameras, right?
That's five. Well, fucking, they must have like 5,000 TriCaster operators then, basically going, and just one guy going, switch to camera 4,997. Yeah, exactly, and it's like, right. Oh, fuck, that's me. You know what I mean? It's just not realistic.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I was a vision mixer for a little bit. Like, it's hard with 3 cameras, not 5,000 of them. You know what I mean? Oh, man. Technically, like, very intelligent concept, but very hyper-realistic. Mm. Like, and he's speaking to Marlon. And there's one little thing I saw about this scene. Because Marlon wants to listen to what he's saying.
Right.
He restocks the vending machine, and then he takes out what he's put in.
Yeah.
Just so that he can listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I think he's the only decent character around him.
Right.
Because he's going, dude, I'm going fucking insane. Like, look around. I need you to come with me. We need to talk. And, like, he's just like, all right, yeah. You know, instead of going, you're crazy, man. Fuck you.
Yeah.
He, like, humors him. Not humors him, but, like, because he knows who he is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, yeah, next part. What we got?
So, after that, like, he starts to realize, like, shit's getting weird. Like, where the illusion starts to break down a little bit. And he's like, that's fucking weird. And eventually, he comes home, like, before his wife, and he's sitting in the car, and his wife comes home, and she's like, Truman, like, what's going on? He's like, come here. Come
sit. Look at this. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, in 3 minutes, there's going to be a woman who rides by on a red bicycle, a man with a thing of flowers, and a dented Volkswagen Beetle.
Hmm.
And she's like, you're fucking crazy. Like,
Two of them pass,
and he's like, look. She's like, come on, like, it's not gonna happen. And then the beetle goes by. He's like, I fucking told you. He's like, they're on a loop. He's like, they go around the block and then pass by again.
Mm.
Mm. He's like, don't you think that's really fucking weird?
And then he like tries to escape. And then he gets stuck behind like a bunch of cars that all come out at the same time. And it's like beautifully synchronized, right?
So what happens is, okay, he talks to his wife and he's like, that's fucking weird. And she's like, nah, you're crazy. They go have this little talk. And then the next morning, she's like, oh, I got to go to work. I have to go to surgery.
He follows her.
And he follows her to work, which is way off script because he's got to go to work, right? So they're supposed to follow him to work. But suddenly he just appears at the fake hospital that he works at. So everyone there's like, oh, and fuck.
The surgeon's like, what do I do?
He's like, they have like an, I assume an actual person on the bed. And he's like, I'm going to make the first incision now. And he's like, I sure hope that nothing bad happens. And they're like, yeah, something scares him. Yeah. And the police like grab him in the fucking thing and they drag him out. And he's like, what the fuck is going on?
We missed one big detail. He sees his dad.
Yes, right. He sees his dad at one point who is dead and he walks by him. And that's, I think that's when the illusion really first starts to break in this movie, when he sees his dead father as a fucking homeless bum.
A homeless guy, yeah.
And he's like, dad, what the fuck?
And then everybody rushes in to kind of block him. And that's what fucks him up because he's like, I literally had a salary woman basically push me away from a bus.
Yeah.
While I was trying to get onto it.
Well, like a lady walking her dog just lets go of the dog. Oh, that's
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then just grabs him, right? Well, and then in the next scene, it shows the dog just,
like, walking past.
And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so his dad's like killed off at sea. And then like he
shows up randomly. He like, I guess he snuck back in was the implication.
Yeah, because he wanted to revitalize his career because he'd been fucked up since then. And like everyone was like, what's he doing there? Get him out, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they obviously bring him back because, you know, he, like everybody around him's like, you're going mental, right?
Right.
What you've seen. And like, I see him every day, kind of thing.
And this is where he goes nuts, right? This is where he gets in the car and, and hijacks his
wife. Gaslighting.
Yeah.
Fucking.
To the max.
Central. Like, absolutely. And then, obviously, of course, if you were him, you just like,
well, this is
that where was him. He spoke to me. Like, what
is,
the fuck?
Yeah, you this know? Is where he starts to actually lose it. Like, this is where the Jim Carrey comes out in this movie because he goes fucking nuts.
Look at me, like, I'm being spontaneous.
He's like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, yeah. So, what next have you got on your
Stevie he abducts his fake wife.
They drive through, like, fire, all these roadblocks, and then they come across, like, a nuclear disaster.
Yeah, so eventually... He gets to the point where he doesn't want to leave the island because he's afraid of going over water because his dad drowned. So he has hydrophobia or whatever, right? So he gets to the bridge and he's abducted his fake wife. And he's like, we're going to go over the water. And she's like, you can't go over the water. He's like, you're afraid.
You're a fucking pussy, mate.
Yeah. And he grabs her hand and puts it on the wheel and just says, drive. And he closes his eyes and then just floors like, it. And they get, and this is where the thing comes in where he immediately knows, okay, something's fucked up because they get to this point outside of the town that's still in the dome and it's like, oh, we're at the nuclear power plant. Something's going down. So like, you know, shit's,
What's happening? It's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Thanks. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Truman, that scene happened.
Thanks, Truman. And he's never met this person before. So he's like, what the fuck? Like, and how do you...
He legs it. Yeah. And then these people in, like, hazmat.
Creepy hazmat suits.
Oh, my God. Like, just literally, like, crowding around him like some sort of horror movie. It's ridiculous. It's like Fallout.
It's like an alien abduction movie,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Like, dudes in space.
The music's just like, you know. And then, like, here's another thing. The sheriffs drop him off, and they basically go, we're not going to press charges. That's another thing that would send you insane, because it's like, I have not only, in the real world, committed a federal offense, but, like... You know what I mean? Why am I running towards a nuclear plant? That's also like, you know, you'd be arrested on like terrorism charges. You know what I mean? And then they go, slap on the wrist. Don't worry about it. So he's just like, nah, this is fucking weird. So then he doesn't attack her.
Right.
But he's like, he goes fucking.
Well, he starts talking to her and he's like, you know, like all this stiff stuff.
Don't you understand? Like,
He's like, don't you get it? And he's like, well, you want to have a baby with me? Like, why? And she like. Because she's a hired actor, she can't really give him a straight answer because she clearly doesn't actually love him. So she keeps
cutting to this product.
And she's like, how about a glass of, like...
Mococo!
Mococo! And it's, like, literally, it looks... it does like that. That old style zoom in on her face.
Yeah, that's so what I mean about the framing, right?
Up, yeah.
So like, and then she's like looking at the camera, going, "The finest cocoa grown on like Mount Nicaragua, like yeah. that." And he's just saying, "What goes, the fuck are you talking to?"
And he's like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, who are you talking to? And then she's like,
"What does that have to do with anything?"
She's like, "How about the slicer?" And then he picks it up and like, he's just like, "Dice me, slice me, or peel me. There's so many fucking choices like this." I really love this scene because like, she just breaks,
yeah.
completely breaks because, I mean, you got to think she's...
Just like me editing this podcast later is where I will break.
Yeah, yeah, we've had some technical issues, but it's good. You wouldn't notice, hopefully, just before this part. But we're back, ladies and gentlemen, both of us. And yeah, so she just breaks completely, breaks character saying, "This is unprofessional, like, I can't work under these conditions."
Yeah.
And his best friend shows up. With
beer,
oh, a sixer.
Okay, he always has a sixer of just like random, like shit beer,
mm-mm.
right?
And like, so she gets written out, and yeah, Jim Carrey's character, Truman, just gets really depressed because he's stuck in this fake reality. And then we discover more about the world outside yes. of him, which is our world, but in a very different
yeah,
kind of.
So
yeah,
it's very. It's very Paul Verhoeven-esque type.
Like
RoboCop,
yeah.
Starship Troopers. Like it's like satirical in a little bit of...
A satire on society, right. which we'll get to.
So,
yeah. which we'll get to.
At this point, literally, they pull off, they pull open the curtain, as it were, right?
Yeah.
And they show basically what the fuck is going on. Because at this point in this movie... You kind of have an idea, but you're not 100% sure what's going on.
Yeah, you see people watching him.
Yes.
That he's alive. He is part of a live show. But you don't see how much of an impact it has culturally
but
on,
you,
like,
you
everybody.
You wonder, too, because, like, you don't know who those people are. Like, the thing about showing the people in Japan watching it.
Oh, yeah, there was the Japanese family, right?
It made me realize, at that point, I was like, oh, this is not just like this is an American.
It's syndicated everywhere.
This is everywhere, yeah. the entire planet, right?
Mm.
So, at this point, it fucking pulls out and basically just drops exposition on you, like, this is the Truman Show. We adopted a baby named Truman when he was, born.
One of five unwanted pregnancies, you mentioned, right?
And we put him in this dome that we built in Burbank, California, and he's been living there for 30 years, and we've crafted this perfect utopia for him to live in.
Yeah,
we
billions of people watch him take a shit, you know.
His whole life, right?
And it shows you all these shots of, like, Times Square with him on it, and, like,
yeah.
fucking Glastonbury, like, the TVs at the side,
yeah.
and it's, like, you know, merch, all this kind of stuff, and everybody, like, you've got couch potatoes,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, two grandmas that are just, like, reminds me of Grandpa Joe from, like...
From Willy Wonka.
Yeah, where, like, they haven't moved in 30 years, but that's the point.
she's just hugging her Truman pillow.
There's a guy in a bath who's like, hold on, like, during the ending. Yeah. Like, and he's, like, watching TV in the bath. And
all the people in the bar.
You got one of the main, you got Sully from Brooklyn Nine-Nine garage, Sully. Like.
I'm like, ah, it's Sully. I'm like, oh, yeah. What's Sully?
A very young-looking Sully.
I mean, he looks exactly the
same. The hair looks the same. Yeah, the hair. You know, the gravy stain on the T-shirt looks the same. But, like, the point is, right, everybody, just normal working-class people all over the globe. Like, there's the ladies in the bar, and then the whole bar's watching.
Yeah.
Right? Very Bill and Ted.
Yes.
You know, when they play
this,
and everyone's like, everybody's watching Truman just live his life, right?
Yeah.
But at this point, he's plotting his escape because he's done. But I think this is where the film really gets, like, really clever, because mm-hmm. he knows there's cameras. He's very aware because he's like, I'm going to fucking escape and nobody's going to notice.
Right.
What happens again? He's in the basement.
He's
right?
He goes into the basement and he basically.
Oh, before that, he does the soap thing.
Right. Yes.
Which
he
improvised.
Yes.
And they get scared, like, they're on the phone,
can he see us? And they're like, nah, it's fucking stupid.
But isn't it weird how it's like two fucking. Paul Giamatti, who's the same in everything, right? Just eating pizza, going, I'm going to call the boss. Because he's acting out of line.
Right.
Like, he's a fucking dog or like a he is a guinea pig, right?
Yeah,
you know, and it's like his life is worth fucking nothing to them. But well, it's worth everything at the same time because he's going to make them money, right?
Right.
But he's like ready on the phone, like, we need to sort this problem out because he's noticed us. But he's like gone. Oh, he's normal again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's fine.
But it's all a ruse. You know?
So basically, after they write his wife out, I don't know if she like divorces him or whatever. They don't really actually say. But she's out of the picture and he kind of just bums around in the basement. Now, they think he's just bumming around the basement. What he's actually doing is doing his Shawshank Redemption escape hole.
It is Shawshank.
And
complete with the lightning,
yeah,
the rain, everything.
And
yeah,
he makes this hole and then basically he realizes that there's cameras on him everywhere.
Hmm.
But the cameras aren't 100% perfect. And I think he realizes this when he thinks back to when he ran away with Sylvia. Like, she's like, oh, you know,
yeah,
they're going to find us eventually.
Sort of, yeah.
And he realizes, okay, it's not perfect. So eventually, I'm going to get to a spot where they can't track me. So you don't really know how long he's been, like, doing stuff in the basement. Like, In the time from when his wife gets written out of the show into the time where he escapes.
It's not the next day.
It's definitely not the next day. I think they say it's like a week or something.
Yeah, because in that time, they do the interview as well.
Yes.
With Christoph.
Yes.
Which would just slide in.
Yeah.
I'll slide it in dead quick. Like, Harry Shearer interviews him from Spinal Tap, SNL, and Mr. Burns and Principal Skinner. Fucking awesome dude. And he basically says to him, what do you think about like what you're doing? And you know, I was gonna say, what's his fucking name, Dr. Cocktail, but it's not, it's what's his name, Christoph, Ed Harris's
Ed
character
Harris,
yeah,
yes.
And he says, we accept the reality of the world in which we are presented. And you wrote
it
this
is,
down
it
right?
is the best quote in this movie.
Yeah
it's perfect, because as far as Truman's concerned, right, The town of
Seaside's the actual place.
Sea Haven, yeah. Why they did that, I don't know. But okay, so anyway, in Sea Haven, right, the world presented to him, as far as he knows, is reality, right? So Christoph says, like, we accept the reality that we're presented. It's like, yeah, of course. Like, if today, you know, I walked to school and I open up the fucking, you know, closet in the school, which I've never done, and there's some dude behind there.
With like, a boom mic.
With a boom mic and eating a donut, right? I'm going to be like, what the fuck
with
is
the boom
going
again,
on?
The boom guy again. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is with this, you could also analyze it as like a reverse. You could say the same about the people that watch him.
Right.
Because they watch him 24 hours a day, some of them, right? And they accept him as like a part of their life. They see him as like a mainstay in like their day. They watch the Truman Show.
I mean,
show.
Like, you have to think about it too, because like the show's been going on for 30 years. So there are people who have been born where their entire life, up to being an adult, the Truman Show has been on TV.
Yeah. So it's like, what do I say? What's the word? It'll come to me. But basically, it's a constant in their life. Basically,
right. Yeah.
Right. It's a necessity. So, like, they accept that they're watching somebody grow in front of them. But for some of them, it could be like, I mean, this movie actually spawned a sickness as which we'll get to.
We'll talk about it.
But, like, I do think that it highlights, like, how stupid TV audiences actually are. Which we'll get to. I keep saying which we'll get to.
So,
because I'm excited.
Let's bang on the ending and we'll get to the stuff we need to get to.
Yeah. So, after the fourth attempt at this, by the way, our listeners.
Yeah. So Truman, he escapes on the boat. He bashes into the wall.
Oh, God. Yeah. And
great escape scene.
Christoph like nearly drowns him.
Drowns him, yeah.
And he's like, more rain, more lights, more lightning. And
did we talk about this? I don't know. We might have.
Yeah. This is the fourth attempt. And then the guy's like, the execs are like, what are you doing? You're going to kill him. And he practically fucking like, you think he's dead, right?
No, I'm saying like, did we talk about this previously in the thing before we've re-recorded it? I don't know. Maybe we have. Let's just say Christoph attempts to kill Truman because he's an asshole. I get, well,
he's an artist, Dave.
Yeah, he's more concerned about presenting a good product than he is with Truman's life, which is kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Because then immediately once Truman hits the literal wall of the dome.
Oh, it's amazing.
And he gets out of the boat and there's just a staircase there.
You see the hand touch the wall.
Yeah. And he's like, oh.
And it's like one of the, it's a perfect ending, this movie, because, you know, the sun comes out and you see, like you said, the boat just hit the wall. Yeah. You see the shadow of like the front of the boat just go. Yeah. And he touches the wall and the music just swells. And this is the point in the movie where I actually bawled when I watched it, because I was like, oh my God, like, everything he thought about his reality is now confirmed just in this, right?
It's shattered,
not the storm, not all this kind of stuff, you know. No, fucking, the guy when he says to him, like, are you gonna, you know, you're gonna kill him? And it's like, you brought him in this world. And he's like, no, I'm gonna take him out of this world. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the one. You know what I mean?
Playing God,
basically, in his moon that goes, yeah, as well.
He's got the big shiny light, yeah.
So, yeah, and then all of a sudden, he does play God, Christoph, because he goes, Truman.
And Truman's alive. Like, what the fuck?
God? God? Who the fuck are you talking about? It's me, Louis. Oh, that's Zoolander, which you need to watch. That's a Zoolander reference. And he's just like, was everything real? And he was like, you're real. Mm. You know, and like, you know, there's no more truth out there than there is in the world that I created for you.
I made this for you.
Yeah, the world, you have nothing to fear. You know, in my world, there's no fear. You know, if you go outside, you're going to die. I know you better
than you do.
Than you do yourself. And I was like, wow, this motherfucker's going to be sued when, like, Truman escapes, right?
Right. Because... But then Truman has a comeback for that. And he said, you never had a camera in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, what do you know? He's like, you don't know what I think or what I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's like, stay. Like as if.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine like finding out that your world is bullshit and then somebody goes, come on, mate. I gotta make money.
Yeah.
Just stay.
Listen, dude. I'm like, God. You know. World outside's not so great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I give you a free wife. You're gonna hate free house is good.
You're gonna hate it. Fucking hate it, bro. And then he just pieces out with, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And then he bows. And just steps into
the blackness,
and it shows you Sylvia, like his love, who's now an activist campaigning for his release. Because she calls in and she's like, "You're a sick bastard" to the guy. You see her run because she's gonna meet him. No way is she gonna get near him.
Oh fuck no!
Because the moment he leaves that dome, there's gonna be like 40 armed officers protecting the company's investment.
Right.
You know, of course he's gonna be tied on for like if this was in the Netflix generation, a spin-off.
Yeah.
Involving like. His son eventually that, you know, would just get taken years. From him and all this kind of... The aftermath of this movie is what fucks me up the most. Because it's not really a happy ending. It is a happy ending because it's like, he's free of the machine. He's free. He's out of the world, right? But now what the fuck is he going to do?
But you know? Here's the problem, right? It's like, you don't really know what the world is actually like outside, right? Like, you see like, oh, there's like a giant biodome and... That's where he lived. But you don't really know what the state of the world is outside of the dome.
I mean, it's pre-9/11, kind of.
I mean,
I get what you're saying. You don't know, right? Because it's...
Because, like, they have this ability to make a giant biodome. So, like, is this, like, near future? Is this far future? Like, you don't know. Because in the movie, right, they specifically state that they built the inside of... the dome as like 1960s, like, you know, middle America.
Mm, mm, mm.
But you don't know what year it is actually outside.
I mean, it does look 90s, but like his assistant, the Asian chick, she's like, she looks surprisingly futuristic with what she's wearing.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
like,
I mean.
And he's wearing an odd style. You
and
know
everyone
what I mean?
Like, has like the, you know,
Bluetooth headsets.
And
yeah, and it's, right? This predates Bluetooth.
So like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't, I don't know, like, what is the world actually like outside? Like, is this like a post-apocalypse?
Could be now,
yeah. Like,
that's the beauty of this movie, because like, you could play, I see what you're saying now, you could place it anywhere. in modern history from then to now. You could place it in 2005. You could place it in 2020.
Long,
you know what I mean?
So long as it is past the 1960s.
Yeah.
You could place it whenever.
Because there's no specific like reference to any kind of a historical event, cultural thing. It doesn't show anything.
Nope.
So, like, it was a smart move by the director to kind of, you know, you can literally, because you could make this show today and people would watch it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's relevant.
Yep.
Because people who watch TV, not us, of course, because we don't watch TV all the fucking time, but, like, the majority of people that watch reality TV are stupid people.
Okay.
Because they just, that's all they know. It's right? You know what I mean? That's the producer's fucking thing.
So, I'm going to ask you a question now, because we've hit an hour. Yeah. I feel like there's still a lot of shit to talk about in this episode.
Yeah.
Are you okay with going long on this episode?
Yeah, I am.
Because there is so much I want to talk about.
We'll preface this by saying, if you do notice a distinct jump in this episode, we did have like a technical problem.
Mm.
And we, three times.
Yeah.
So we repeated quite a lot. So if you hear one thing that we've already said, please excuse us.
Yes.
But I think we covered everything.
If you're
feeling
like you're in a time loop like Truman... You're not. Don't worry.
I mean, yeah, we'll go semi-long on this. Yeah, yeah. Don't look in your closet. There might be a guy with a boom in there. A big hairy boom.
Okay.
Right. Can I hit you with the first one?
Yes.
The media.
Let's talk about the weird, fucked up shit.
So in 2008, The Truman Show was named as one of the top 10 most, I can never say this word, prophetic. Science fiction films, something that predicts the future. So, like, this movie, the story reflects the falseness of reality TV because Truman just simply lives his life.
Right.
And the show's popularity is its straightforward voyeurism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is essentially, you know, and like Big Brother, Survivor, and every other reality show on the air, as quoted, none of his environment is actually real. So this, Big Brother made its debut a year after, like what I said at the beginning. And basically, Truman doesn't see any cameras, but in Big Brother, they do.
Right.
Yeah. They know there's a camera there. Yeah,
they can see it. Yeah.
So it's like, there's a TV program in 2003 called The Joe Schmo Show.
I was going to talk about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, all of the other contestants were paid actors playing the part of various
other people.
Yeah. And, like, while Matt eventually got all the prizes in the same in the contest, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The show's running joke was in the same existential ballpark as the Truman Show. Basically, this has always been the question: is the audience getting dumber, or are we filmmakers patronizing them? Is this what they want, or is this what we're giving them? But the public went into my film in large numbers, and that has to be encouraging. Basically, that was the quote. So yeah.
Did you ever watch Joe Schmo Show?
I did. Yeah.
In hindsight, it's like, wow, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things in this movie that are way more fucked up than that, but yeah, like...
But it's like in Big Brother, they had, like, the diary room and all this kind of stuff, and they had to have tasks, and it was just like a breeding ground for, like, I mean, in the UK, racism, toxicity, just everything, right? And they showed that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But the main point of this is, you know what I mean? Like... audience, how an audience views something,
right?
You know what I mean? So in this film, you see the audience objectively viewing Truman, and like, what are they doing?
They're just watching him be him.
Yeah, they're just watching him be him. Like I mentioned about my mum at the start, watching people sleep on Big Brother.
Yeah.
It's just such a dumb thing. And we're roped into this sense of, it's okay to watch somebody at their most intimate, or... at their most kind of like open, what I mean? But
I think there is a little bit of social commentary at the very end of the movie, because the Truman Show literally ends, and then Scully from fucking Brooklyn Nine-Nine just goes,
What else is on? Switch. And he turns off the movie.
Yeah.
And it's just like the audience's attention span
just
is
like, we don't give a fuck.
That of a goldfish, you know, just like gone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But this is the thing, like, his life has inspired everybody around the world, right? Meaning that their lives are controlled by this fact.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, imagine if this happened, you know, and you're talking to your colleague and it's like, oh, I've got to get it on for 5 because I'm recording the Truman Show. I want to see him like, oh, apparently he's got a, you know, job promotion or something. Right, I want to see how it goes. Happened? And it's like, that is controlling your daily life. And that's what happens in this movie. Mm-hmm. And this predated, like I said, Big Brother, everything. I'm repeating myself. But it's like, this is why it's important. Very, very important. What were you going to say about this?
I was going to just mention about the fact that, like, in the movie, they have actors sign on to be in the Truman Show, literally also from birth, right? Mm. Because his friend was his friend from 7. So I'm going to have to assume...
Mosquito.
Sorry. I don't think I got him. But that's okay.
I got him.
I'll clip it out. that his friend signed on to be his friend from age 7. Because, like, that guy has to age with Truman as Truman ages, right? So he's also been in the Truman Show since he's been 7.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's almost as like...
He's almost living in that... The only difference is that he knows it's fake.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, literally, that's the only difference, because I assume he had to go to school with Truman. He had to be around Truman all the time. If he did anything with Truman, he had to be there, right?
Yeah, 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 completely. I made a little bit of an error. In my notes, there was Candid Camera in the dating game in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Which, but this...
That's more like comedy, haha, like hidden.
But this is stuff. Before it went mainstream.
Yeah.
I will make that point. So, yeah. So Christoph, the director, sums it up in the first scene where he says, "We've become bored with watching actors give us phony emotions. While the world he inhabits is in some respects counterfeit, there's nothing fake about him."
Right. He's no real. Scripts, everything no he feels cues. Is real.
Hmm. It's genuine, you know what I mean? But, like, he has no idea that everyone around him's fucking...
fake.
An actor, you know what I mean? Or that the world's just, like, brick, you know, and or, like, wood or whatever. It's a set, right? And, you know, he's literally been, like, forced into, like, his friendships, his fucking job, you know, just...
His wife?
Sex. Everything.
Yeah.
This is where it gets fucked up. Yeah. Massively. What have you got to say about this?
Let's talk about Meryl, because as a character, this is where the really fucked up shit starts for me.
Yeah.
Like, Christoph is kind of the end-all, be-all of real fucked up shit, but this is where it's, like, really fucked up.
Hmm.
So, obviously, she had to sign on to this show when she was in high school, because that's when they met, right?
Hmm.
But then... Was her contract that she would become his wife and then eventually be the mother of his child as an actor? Right? Like, she is literally being paid to be his, like, surrogate wife in every single facet that you could possibly imagine.
Because they don't hint at it. They fucking say,
yeah,
we need a baby.
Mm.
And even his mum's like, oh, you too. Are you going to have a baby kind of thing? And yeah. It's just like, what the fuck? Like, so yeah. And so basically, what? I don't know what to say about this, to be honest.
It's because really fucked
really
up
is fucked up.
It
really is fucked up because, you know, is she just going to do it? But then, like, you start to see that breakdown in her character, though, that she's just like, I don't know if she's happy with it.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, who would be, right?
But then here's the weirdest thing, right? Is that she gets written out of the story, and then, like, the next week, there's
new
another woman
romantic
who
replaced. Love interest.
So, like,
kind of
is that woman like, yeah, I'll sign up. I'll fuck him.
It,
right?
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh.
Right?
But, yeah, it
like,
is
that's
literally,
the implication.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah. Like, that's
like,
super
oh, well,
up.
One's dropped out. We've got another one for him.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just, what the fuck? This wouldn't fly now.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, it wouldn't. I mean, it was never acceptable to begin with, but, like, you know.
What do you mean wouldn't fly?
Just basically people signing on just to bang him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like.
No. This would 100% happen. You don't think that would happen? People love serial killers, for fuck's sake.
I know, but I'm just.
100%. If if the conceit of the movie is that this is a worldwide phenomenon, then that everyone loves it and that everyone watches it, you're going to tell me that there isn't one other single woman actor in the entire planet that wouldn't be like, yeah, I'd fuck Truman.
I mean, yeah, fair.
Right? But like that, I think that in and of itself is fucked up.
The biggest thing for me that's fucked up is how this was like, I don't know how to explain this. I'm really sorry, everybody. But basically, digital surveillance is everywhere now.
Yes.
Fucking everywhere. I mean, like, in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, we were like,
camera, right?
Yeah, or like, oh, satellite. Is this country doing this? Is this country doing that kind of thing like this, right? And, you know, CIA fucking put computer chips in people's brains, you know, and whatever, Manchurian Candidate kind of shit, right? You know what I mean? Yeah, MK Ultra and all that. But, you know, like in the 90s, before the internet, the power came from the TV. So, like, ooh, radio waves, TV waves, and all this kind of stuff, right? So it's like, in this movie, it is literally like mass surveillance. It is mass surveillance.
Yeah.
He cannot go fucking anywhere without being seen. You know what I mean? And all this kind of stuff. So it's like, it's just incredible because you have security cameras, like I said. You have fucking cameras in this, cameras in that, cameras in this. And
not
like,
only that, but like how easy it is for them to just do it.
Yeah, yeah. And how now it's like you can't fart without being found. You know what I mean? Because we use it every day now.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it I hate to bring it up because it's got nothing really to do with the topic of the movie per se. But, you know, like weird anti-vax people who are like, oh, they're going to put a computer chip in you to track you and whatever. It's like, motherfucker, you got a phone? They know where you are. Like, not to be like some weird conspiracy theorist type shit, but like if someone wants to find you, they look up your phone number, they give it to the FBI, and then the FBI goes, okay, cool. We'll just track him via satellite because his fucking phone has a GPS. It's not hard to find the dude, right? Yeah. You'd be like, oh, well, I'll just leave my phone somewhere. It's like, no, you won't.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. If they made that today, they wouldn't give Truman a smartphone or anything like that. No. Because he'd be like, oh, what's this? I'm in a dome?
Yeah, right? I'm in the Burbank, California dome?
Why can't I find the post office? It's just like gray. You know what I mean? Right. Just like, yeah.
Well, and it's weird, too, because I feel like in the movie, maybe that's why they said it earlier in time. Because, again, like I said, you don't know what the world is like on the outside, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
people are... And that's another thing. They don't show you what kind of a TV they're watching on, do they?
It does look very grainy. Like, yeah. You know those big box?
Right, yeah. It looks kind of shit. I guess that's true.
What do they call those big box TVs?
CRT TVs?
CRTs, that's it, yeah. Yeah. Best for playing retro video games. I want to bring up that the Truman Show disease we mentioned.
Yes.
So basically in 2002, there was a study, and I think it was maybe 3 or 4 people, where they believed they were being filmed.
Right, yes, just like
the Truman Show syndrome, right? So they believe that they're the main character in their own narrative, which, you know, I mean, like, if you want to view your life in that kind of way where it's like, oh, I'm the main character and like everyone I interact with, blah, 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 you know, well, like the more the philosophical thing, it like kind of helps like build motivation. Like for me, I know that I'm the only one that can control me and like my environment can change if I want it to. Right.
Right.
But in this, it's literally like I'm being filmed. Yes. There's people with cameras around me. My reality is fake. Everything is made for me kind of thing. So I've got some notes here. One of them reported having worked on the production team of a reality show that he realized was about him. Another believed that all of his friends and family were actors following scripts.
Yep.
And a third traveled across the country to see if the Twin Towers were still standing after suspecting the September 11 attack to be a plot twist on his own show. So yeah, it's like, it's a delusion, a disorder where the patient believes that he's being filmed and that other films are being broadcast for the entertainment of others.
Yep.
Gotta say, if you do drugs, that shit can happen, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, this sparked like a real kind of like psychiatric disorder, this movie, because, you know, I mean, a few years later we had The Matrix, mm-hmm. which also took that to another level. Bit. You know what I mean? Like that, The Truman Show is The Matrix for TV.
Yes.
And then The Matrix is The Truman Show for like the fucking, the internet or whatever, or like
for hacker
virtual hacker. World. Yeah. So it's basically these two go hand in hand, and then Johnny Mnemonic's just there in the middle, yep. you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's other stuff too, like in this movie, the concept of a company owning a person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like literally they own Truman. Like they adopted him, but like they're not treating him like a son or like a person.
But
he's a product that they're selling.
This is what scares, like I'll bring up the ending again, like, and what the fuck he's going to do after. Like his real life that he wants, he will never be able to get.
Because, well, I mean,
a corporation owns him, you know, and he might be able to live a happy life in the real world, yeah, but like he will social forever.
Security? Does he like, but he's grown up in the 1960s. You don't know what time it is outside, right? Like, is the stuff that he knows even fucking relevant?
It could be like the same as like, do you know, I've had dreams like this where I'm in a coma or something, mm-hmm. and then somebody wakes me up and goes, oh, you're in 2050.
Right.
And this is what's happened, right? You see, I've seen a prank show about this.
It's in like fucking horrible. It's in like, you know, a like, million billion different sci-fi.
You know, when somebody's asleep and then they move them to another thing, and then it's like,
how long have I been asleep for? You've been asleep for 9 years.
Here's your daughter. And I mean, it's like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, isn't that the entire, speaking about Fiji, that's the entire premise of Red Dwarf, is that he's stuck in the fucking thing for 9 years. Fiji never
exists. Yeah. It doesn't exist because it's now underwater. You know what I mean? But, yeah, like, that's the scary thing about this movie, just, like I mentioned, the aftermath, and the fact that, like, a corporation just owns him, like you said, is, like, whack. Yeah. It's whack, yeah. You know, because but it could be Amazon. You don't know.
You know for a fact that if, like, places like Amazon could own people,
I mean,
they would buy them yesterday.
This is what is fucked up about today's society, because if this was made in the late 90s, right? And then now you're in the early 2020s, right? We've got all these big corporations that are like, you know, soon shops will be fucking extinct, people are saying, because it will literally be an Amazon shop where you walk in, take what you want, and it's embedded in you.
Yeah.
You know.
Beep and you're done.
Yeah, beep and you're done. And it's like, with with this, you know, I can see them expanding, because you're never going to stop them. You know, it could get to a point where it's like, I mean, they've just bought MGM, for fuck's sake. They're going to start making movies. You've got Meta, you've got VR from Facebook, you've got all this stuff. You give it 40 years. I mean, me and you are 30,
yeah.
right? And it's like, smartphone, invented. Internet, invented. Fucking 4K, 8K, fucking 12K. Just all invented. Everything's... Yeah. So what's it going to do? It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And will there be a bubble that bursts? Possibly. But like at the end of the day, right, they are going to come up with fucking ideas like this. The only thing that stops them is ethics. And I think that society nowadays is like, there will be a lot of fucking opposition to a company like Amazon basically saying, oh, we're going to like do this, you know.
I mean, there is
everyone away
there is opposition now to the way that they treat employees, but nothing gets done.
I know, but owning a baby and then like doing a reality show, I mean, about it.
Okay, how far of a leap is that from where Amazon is now, where they barely let you take a piss at work?
Sounds like Konami as well. I mean, right? Not far, like, I guess.
It's, you know, it's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Well, when your CEO looks like Dr. Evil, I mean, you know what I mean? Well, yeah. And you've got Cock Rocket.
Yes, giant dick rocket.
Like an actual dick rocket. But yeah, that's all I've got to basically say. I've got some...
There's one last weird wrinkle about this movie that I didn't quite understand. So, are we under the impression that the internet does not exist in this outside world?
I mean, at the time, it was a thing. But, like, I mean, this director would have been fucking even bigger because, you know what right. I mean? To write a story where you also predict the rise of what the internet's going to be. You'd show it more, you know what I mean?
Here's the thing, right? So, Christoph is super concerned about the first televised conception.
Ah, oh yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm like,
you naughty bastard. Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, but if the internet exists, you could just find that in like 10 seconds.
Boom. Ba-dum, boom.
There's like a billion there's a billion pornography videos where you could watch multiple conceptions at the same time if you really wanted to. Some that you don't. So it's really weird to think that that's like his whole sticking point is like, I want to see him fuck.
Porn. Watch the porn.
Yeah, basically. Right? Like,
I mean, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, but then again, they do mention that, like, when stuff happens, like Sully says, they just cut away and do this, which I mentioned, right?
Right.
So, like, would they?
Would they cut away?
I mean, it depends.
The ratings.
But the ratings. I mean, look, if he almost killed him on air, he's definitely
going to get
that wide shot of the missionary.
What an ass.
Go to cowgirl.
Yep.
5 seconds, switch over.
Switch to camera 69.
Yep. Yep. Don't cream pie. Tell him not to cream pie.
Yeah. Fuck.
Oh, I mean, if he's conceiving, yeah, I guess, but it's fucked. But yeah, I've got some trivia.
Okay, cool. I got some too, but you'll probably
have the same trivia. It was supposed to be called The Malcolm Show from a one-page script in 91, mm-hmm. and that was the sci-fi darker thriller. Brian De Palma was attached, who directed Scarface.
Okay.
Yep, and Tim Burton, Sam Raimi, Steven Spielberg, and Terry Gilliam were all...
Yeah, there were so many people that were...
Yeah. So they decided on Peter Weir, who directed Dead Poets Society, which is a fucking amazing movie, bro. It's amazing. One of my favorites. And, yep, Ed Harris, who plays Kristoff and Jim Carrey, never met whilst filming. Never met.
I mean, they don't meet in the movies, yeah, so exactly. That makes sense.
And they never will. No. Because I don't think after Truman leaves that he'd ever want to see him.
Nope. Meet him.
Because this guy is practically giving you PTSD for the rest of your fucking living life, right?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, this is how he gets schizophrenia, right? Like, now he wonders, okay, I've left the dome, but was the dome a lie? Is the outside world a lie? Am I still in the show?
Yeah,
and I just think that I've escaped?
Is the earth flat?
Did they let me escape?
Yeah.
To continue, like, at that point, you got to be like, what the fuck is going on, right? You would be paranoid.
Yeah. Another really amazing thing that I did see in the movie, the vitamin D tablets.
Oh, on the table.
Because the sun's not real.
Not real.
Yeah. So it's like, he's got a mad deficiency. You know what I mean? That's another thing. And yeah, vitamin D on the set. When he draws on the mirror with soap, that was improvised. And... of course, we mentioned the media ethics about Meryl, the wife, and the Truman Syndrome stuff. And basically, yeah, he was found from Ace Ventura, and people on the set were forbidden from quoting
Ace Ventura. Yeah.
Just anything.
Anything.
Yeah, like Liar Liar at the time and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, they'd just be booted off. And yeah, we're shot in Florida, and my favorite piece of trivia.
This is probably the piece that I have.
Roger Ebert?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, I have different.
So, we mentioned Roger Ebert. Bless you. Rest in peace. But, like, your reviews were kind of shitty. Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel said that Jim Carrey would never have a career after Ace Ventura. And after this, they gave 2 thumbs up to this movie. They apologized on air.
Good.
Yeah, so you fucking should. And there were over 300 extras in the movie. That's my trivia.
My last piece of trivia here is that the exterior home shots for the house that he lives in is owned by the Gates family.
What?
Not Bill Gates.
Oh.
Michael Gates.
Who's Michael Gates?
The left-hand, right-hand man to Trump.
Oh, that Michael Gates.
Yes.
Eh? Really?
Yeah. Apparently they own that house.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cancel it. So, yeah.
I mean, they own it now. I don't know at the time if they owned it, but...
Yeah, I mean, everybody related to Trump, and Trump's fucking selling everything now, so... anyways,
there's some kind of connection parallel there between Truman Show and Vass... You know,
media corporation. I mean, Trump was the fucking media barren of the, you know, early 21st century, right?
Yep.
So it's just
there you go.
Ridiculous. My verdict, or your verdict. Do you want to go first, or
should I? This is a tough one.
I want to hear what you have to say about this, because you know my thoughts on this movie.
Hey, watching this movie now has given me a lot to think about, because while the premise at the onset seems kind of hokey, where like you kind of go, how would you not notice that this is fake? Like, are you fucking stupid? But if you just accept that this is the reality that you're shown, you accept that it's real, and you kind of can follow along with the movie. That being the case, it brings up so many ethical questions about how we consume media, who's watching, who's making it, what is our role in that kind of world?
Mm.
And not only that, it brings up a lot of questions about, like, humanity as well. Like,
yeah.
Should you be able to treat, like, it's not as though he was mistreated in the movie. It's not like he was starving.
No, but his life was not his.
Right.
You know?
And that's
people let it happen. Yeah. You know what
and
I mean?
People just said, yeah. Not only did they let it happen, they cheered it on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think as a think piece for, you know, like you said, you would study it in film in university or college, I think it's great. Jim Carrey is awesome as Truman, although he's kind of like, he's playing Jim Carrey as Jim Carrey a little bit, but you know, that he is what it is. I would give this movie, this is hard. I would probably give this movie an 8.
Okay.
That's what I'm feeling. It's not a perfect movie, but it's really good, and I do like the kind of questions that you're left with to kind of stew with after, right? It doesn't give you an answer as to what happens after.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's left to the viewer.
If it was made today, there would be a prequel and a sequel already to this movie. It'd be like, eh.
That's the beauty of this movie. It's very unique.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, like, if anybody said they're going to remake this, good luck. You would have to change...
Yeah, you would have...
The concept. You'd have to make it about the metaverse. You know, the guy was born with a fucking VR headset on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, well, the prequel is about how Kristoff made the giant dome. And then afterward is about Truman when he finds his, lady friend outside the dome. And then they go on a wacky event. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need any of that shit.
Leave
and I'm glad that
this
they...
this shit alone.
Don't touch on any of that
Do
stuff.
Not fucking touch this movie.
There was
I'm watching you.
There was,
fuck off.
In 2014, there was supposed to be a TV series.
Fuck. But
it never happened.
But that's weird.
Yes.
A TV series about a man
in a TV series where his life is a TV series.
Are you the joke? Like, is that what it... Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's interesting. So you're going to give it an 8.
8.
I'm going to go straight in. 9.5.
Yeah. Okay.
This is one of my favorites. And like I said, the inspiration for why I chose film. Because it was, for me, a really creative piece of media that, like, showed that you can build a world within a world, within a fucking world, and how unrealistic it is, but how they shot it. Because, like, at times I was like, am I watching the TV show or am I watching the movie of the TV show?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's... So then when it takes you out...
You're watching...
You realize, you know...
You're watching a movie to watch a TV show to watch people watch a TV show about someone's life.
Yeah, and then you are the watcher. You become part of that audience
as well.
Is someone
watching you?
Yeah, but oh, fuck!
Right, exactly, right?
Yeah, and it's like you become a part of that mass audience because you're watching... This is the point, right? You are watching the same thing as them.
Yes.
You are part of that audience. This is the beauty of this movie, and it's such a fucking meta experience. And, like, I don't think there's been anything like this since, personally.
Not really.
I mean,
nothing that I can think of.
Such an analysis of, like, TV and just audience and everything. Like, of course, we've got Insta, TikTok, and all this shit now, but it's so diluted to the point of, like, You know, yeah, anybody can access it. And like, if you saw something now, like, oh, I saw a UFO, it's like, nah, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, just because you can literally edit anything.
Right?
The people are the editors now. The people make the media on such a mass scale that you literally don't believe fucking anything anymore. Right? Or you do, like, in some cases. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's.
Well, and like, reality TV has kind of died now, right?
Yeah, because.
And I think we've swung back the opposite way.
Yeah, because at the first, like, you don't know what the camera's there for. Like, when my mom watches it, she's just watching people. She is the camera. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, she's like, oh, this is fake now. And I'm like, always has been. You know what I mean? Like, it just took audiences a long time to kind of snap out of that and think, I've got better things to do. Yeah. Like, you know, go out drinking with my friends or, like, read a book or literally fucking have sex anything. Or whatever, right? Instead of watching somebody snore for like 10 hours. This is the point. Like,
I mean,
society has changed since then.
The Truman Show, the 2021 analog for the Truman Show is Twitch.
Really? Okay.
You don't think so? There's people who stream their life, IRL life, walking around doing shit.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean.
And people throw money at them,
the,
right?
The difference is that they're interacting with the audience in some capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if they didn't have the ability to access a chat that they could read, it would be literally the Truman Show, right? And, I mean, there's been stuff since the Truman Show where someone would just have, like, on a 24-hour live camera in...
public access kind of stuff.
Yeah, right? You just jump in whenever you want.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Insta Live now. Facebook Live,
yeah,
where you let people in, you know, it's things have changed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know of any other reality TV shows that are live anymore. Well, live, you know what I mean? You've got Kardashians, you've got all this shit, but it's all edited and kind of designed to make it look polished. You can't polish shit, ladies and gentlemen.
If you don't believe we're living in a dystopia, think again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think again.
Yeah. And this raises many more questions that I might have to speak to you afterwards because I don't want to keep pausing.
Yeah.
And this is like the first podcast where I've actually like had to fucking think because it is a deep thinking movie. And
at the onset, it doesn't feel like it.
But that's the beauty of it. You know what I mean? And like, I love it. I love it. And there's another example of something like this, but it's kind of not, but. We need to watch what I'm about to say because I don't want to explain it too much, but basically it was a BBC documentary. It does count as a film, so we're going to watch it on here.
Okay.
Because it was released standalone on DVD and it's feature length. It's called Ghost Watch.
Name sounds familiar.
And like, this was 1992. And this is another example that I studied along with the Truman Show at university that really plays with the audience on like a big scale.
Okay.
But it wasn't a movie. It was a live event. But it wasn't live. It was a drama. But in the days before the internet, they didn't showcase it like, oh, the new drama from the BBC. It was showed to be a live Halloween thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And Craig Charles is in it. You've got to watch it.
Some kind of war. It's a little bit War of the Worlds, right? Where they don't say that it is something.
It is, but like, and War of the Worlds is another example. And like, just a commentary on the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's exceptional. Very dated in like the acting's piss poor, but like you can watch it on YouTube. And I want to do this next week.
Okay.
Because. I want to kind of revisit these kind of questions about like
audience. Do we want to do it next week? Because I think maybe we should let Truman Show stew for a bit.
I really want to do it because I know that you'd enjoy it.
Okay.
And like, I mean, we could. It's up to you. But like, basically with this.
I feel like that might be a watch on my own time type of deal.
Yeah. It's, well, either way, I recommend it to the audience as well.
Okay.
So. But like in terms of an audience kind of study and how it like plays with like tropes and turns them on its head, similar with how the Truman Show represents somebody in like a, you know, twisted reality, Ghostwatch plays with like actual like film and TV kind of, you know, broadcasting technology, all of this shit, you know, before the internet and before social media, it's something that you could not do now.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Present something as live when it's not. Because people don't believe it. You know what I mean?
And now people are like, that's fake.
Yeah. And with the Truman Show now, people wouldn't believe it, you know, that the guy was real, because you've got too many nut jobs now on the internet that literally go, that's bullshit. That's fucking bullshit. That guy knows, and he's got a job for life, and, you know, he's rolling in the pee. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's a conspiracy theorist wet dream,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And my point is, with the Ghostwatch example in this, and the War of the Worlds thing, oh, Martians are invading, run for your lives. Nah, fuck off. You know what I mean?
Right.
Audiences have developed, they've become desensitized to a mass scale, on a mass scale, to the point when they are now the producers and editors, and it's become diluted to the point where we can't do fucking anything authentic. In a way.
And I mean, Christoph says that at the beginning of his interview. He says, we got tired of people showing us fake shit.
Yep. So, ladies and gentlemen, this movie is a fucking timepiece. 9.5.
Okay. There you go. 8 for me.
The Truman Show, everybody. And, yeah, so we've clocked in at 1 hour 37. A few technical hiccups on this one, but we hope you enjoy it. And to be honest with you, I want to say more. So after this podcast, we're going to talk more about it.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, this really, like, flicked a switch in my head. And I was at work today, and I sort of looked around after I watched it. I was like, sorry, is that neighbor?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. But, like, I knocked on the wall, like, is this real? So I can see why people obviously had this delusion at the time, yeah. It's weird. It's weird, man. Mm-hmm. Weird fucking movie. A head fuck of a movie, but... So, yeah. So, Dave.
Yep.
Shall we end this podcast?
I think we should.
Yeah. What else is on?
What do you mean? Next week?
No, I mean, like, we're going to end the episode just like Scully does.
I don't know,
what else is on TV? What else is next on your Spotify, ladies and gentlemen? See you next week.
More of this. Bye.
In case I don't see you. Good afternoon. Good evening.